Wednesday night, it's Hazel Runs Her Mouth. I am here with my fabulous co-host, Artrell Chocolate Muffin Jones.
What's up, everybody?
And Mike, the Encyclopedia of Wrestling Eisler.
All right. Bye-bye.
Two waves. We need to have a noise that happens when we wave that.
We could.
That's what we needed, crowd cheering. We did. We had clapping, too. Can you turn that down a bit? Because nobody needs to hear this, oh, God.
But all the problem was, like, when we couldn't, you know, afford it at the time,
right.
All the stuff got erased, except for three songs.
Okay, so we're going to briefly hit local news because... Yeah, there's been some major crap going down here in Wisconsin this week. Basically, what happened was is over the weekend, a man was breaking up a fight between two women. And for whatever reason, the cops were called, and he ended up being shot in the back 7 times. thank God the man is actually alive right now. He's still fighting for his life, but he's alive. He's paralyzed from the waist down. The one bullet shattered his spine. He's had to have his intestines and the such like removed because of the damage and everything. But thank the Lord, he is alive. Now, this happened in Kenosha, which is about a 30 to 45 minute drive south of us. And since then, there have been rioting and protests since. It culminated last night in a group coming into Wisconsin from Illinois who were heavily armed, including a 17-year-old boy who believed in what this lot were doing. This 17-year-old boy shot and killed two people last night. He shot one person in the head. He shot the other person in the stomach. And then he shot a third person who is in a local hospital right now with serious injuries. Boy actually did try surrendering to the police after it happened. The police just drove past him. But after hearing, you know, if you think about it with the chaos that was going on, the police probably didn't know what the hell was going on at the time. He didn't know that this kid had just shot someone. The kid went back home and was actually arrested at his own home today. There is an extradition hearing on Friday because he doesn't live in Wisconsin. You have to go to the state that he is in, apply to the courts to have him extradited back up to Wisconsin where he will face charges. Right now, the charge against him is murder. They said the reason that the charge is murder is because he's had the intent of coming up to Wisconsin with a gun to shoot people if he felt that they were going to damage property and stuff. And this is where part of the problem is that there's a lot of people who are causing the problems who are coming from out of state. They are covering up their license plates so that you don't know where they're coming from. Kenosha was actually kind of smart in a way because they actually had all freeway exits blocked off. However, anybody who knows this area knows there's plenty of back ways to get into everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, for us, all we'd have to do is go straight down 27th Street and keep going. Because it will hit Oak Creek, Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, Racine, Kenosha. There's a little bit more to it than that, but that's the basic gist of it. If you are coming up, the thing is now when we've all got maps on our phones, all you have to do is type in a location and hit a button that says avoid freeways. It takes you all the back ways. Most phones now, mine does it, and it's quite amusing. We'll pick up when there are police on the side of the freeway or where there's cop cars around. And it will tell you. So you could do and then add to it, avoid police. Technology is working against a lot of things. Now, it's also culminated with today, with everything that's going on, that the Bucks refuse to come out of the changing rooms at their game and forfeited game five of the playoff.
Oh, yeah, they're supposed to have a meeting right now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on because they're not the only team that did it. Pretty much the whole of the NBA lot have forfeited their games today. Major League Baseball, Brewers have done the same thing along with some other baseball teams. And they're doing it to show solidarity for what is going on. Reports are coming in actually as well that there has been another shooting in Minneapolis. And I'm going to see if I can. Minneapolis news. I'm just going to see if I can bring it up. Homicide subject took his own life in downtown Minneapolis. So that's what that is. But you know. You guys being black men,
right.
In regards to what's going on, what do you feel needs to change for starters? And I'm on about in regards to the police department and officials, what needs to change that will help the African-American community, and not just the African-American community, but anybody who doesn't fit into white America.
You want to take this or should I?
He's talking to you.
Go ahead. And then you'll go after me. But, like, seriously, retrain the police. Retrain them. And, like, teach them, like, the basis of, you know, like, just read, do the basis, like, show a background. And, like, half of the time, it's easier to go on their Facebook page and check and see if they have, you know, this in these hate groups or whatever the case may be, or wherever they say on their profile, as what most jobs do now, which the police should do. Like, retrain them. And if they don't, if they think, like, if they're, like, racist against, like, other races and things like that, not just blacks, but just other races, too, let them go. They shouldn't be working in the police force. So they're thinking, like, the law is on their own hands because they carry a gun. And somebody pointed out that what England is doing right now, but they've been doing this for, like, a long time, is don't have cops carry guns.
We have some cops that carry guns, but in general, the cops that you would have on the beat don't carry guns. Guns are actually locked in these cars. On top of that, you actually have armed police responders who would respond in the case of, say, for example, school shootings, workplace shootings, someone being violent. Most cops in England, and I don't know how it's changed over recent years, so I'm just going based on my experience when I was still there. So please don't, you know, quote this as being gospel for now. But cops in England are trained a lot more in unarmed combat. They are trained in self-defense. And if you see, there's a lot of videos that go around in regards to how the police take control of situations, it is not unknown for a cop in a car to use their car to bring down someone, to knock them over. They won't do it to the point where it's seriously injuring them, but enough to knock them off the feet so the other cops who are there can get the person. You probably know that we have what they call billy clubs. Sticks that they hit people with. Yes, you got them over here. They are used more in England than they are over here. Tasers in recent years have become more and more popular. Also, some of the police department, and this is to me what's severely lacking over here, some of the police officers can specialize in psychological profiling and will be asked to situations that aren't necessarily a hostage situation, but will show up for certain places to talk down somebody who has a weapon and the such like. Yes, guns are used. We do have SWAT. We do have armed police officers, that sort of thing. They're not deployed in the same sense as they are over here. Psychological evaluations for getting in the police department in England used to be really high. Yeah, you get some people who slip through the net. You're going to get that in any situation regardless. But there's a lot of there's a lot more people who get through who, as I say, the psychological exam to get into the police department is very high. The training lasts longer than over here. In England, you have to actually go to college and get a college degree in criminology before you can join the police department. So you're talking about at least 4 years before you can join the police department.
Maybe over here, maybe it takes some more.
They do, because you have police officers who are 20 years old. And to me, that's too young to be in charge of a weapon. I know we send our boys overseas for war and everything. I know that. I have a whole different issue in regards to that, but that's for a different show. But I do feel if you are going to be in law enforcement, you need to go to school and do criminology.
I do agree with that. And it's just sad that, you know, the police has been, it's been going on for a very long time.
It's been going on for generations.
Right. It's like, it's not new. It's not brand new or anything like that. This has been going on for a very long time. It's just, but like you mentioned earlier when we talked, it's like people got cell phones, they got cameras. And probably back then, maybe like in the 90s and stuff, when stuff was getting imported, they got camcorders.
Well, and the whole point goes back to the, God, what's his name? Guy got beat by the cops in L.A. that started the riot.
Oh,
thank you. I know it was Rodney. I couldn't remember his last name. If you remember in regards to him, that was filmed by someone on their camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
Started the L.A. riots because the officers were found not guilty. That there is also part of the problem, is that people are, and tell me if you agree with this. Everybody is going on Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I've got a point where I'm going with this. Then you got a lot of people who say Blue Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that this is what I feel the difference is. When you're a cop, at the end of your shift, you can take off your blue clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become life, Native American life. You can't get up in the morning and decide, well, today I don't think I'm going to wear my black skin. I think I'm going to try another one. People are getting confused with the fact that blue lives is a job. You aren't born as a police officer at birth. You were born black. Nothing is going to change that. A police officer can leave that job and go do anything else. You can't change your skin color. And then everybody's going on saying, well, white people don't riot and stuff like that. I'm going to, hold on, no, I'm going to show you a picture. Okay, well, we've seen what happens after certain sporting events. Let's be perfectly honest. But I'm going to show you a picture. You guys aren't going to be able to see it, but the picture shows from 1956, white people overturning cars, starting fires, protesting, the army had to be called in. This was because schools were going to be integrated. I will repeat that again. Schools were going to be integrated. There is a picture, if you go on Google and search it, of a little girl. I think she was 6 years old. Little black girl, pigtails. Looking pretty for her first day at school. She was the first black girl to go to an all-white school when integration started. All around that school were white people screaming at her, calling her the N-word. This isn't something that happened hundreds of years ago. This is in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. We are now in a new freaking century and dealing with it again. Well, not dealing with it again. It never went away. It's never been resolved.
Right.
Because as soon as people get, you know, as soon as things calm down, everybody's like, oh, there's the rug. Let's sweep it under there. Let's not deal with it.
Right.
And I honestly feel that this country is so close to the brink of being in civil war. It's not funny. And where everybody's up in arms when people are saying defund the police, they're not on about take away all the money from the police. They're on about take away the private money that goes to the police department.
And put it somewhere else.
Put it into the community. Maybe. And you two grew up in the inner city. I did. So I'm just basing this on what I have seen and raising a son. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. If they took that private money from companies that went to the police department and put it in the rec department to keep places like the Y open all over, because we know the Y was everywhere at one point.
Right.
Now it's in what? How many places?
Yeah. got it downtown. You got it down.
Where's the one that you went to, Mike?
The one that he goes to.
No. Where you went with your son? But am I right in saying the Y used to be everywhere over here at one point? Okay. Do you know how much the membership for the Y is right now?
Like about the last time I checked while I was going in there for the Y and stuff, it was like $45.
It is now $120 a month for a family to have a membership at the Y.
That's crazy.
Now, yes, you can apply for the hardship thing, but you have to fill out a form that is longer than a food stamp form to get it. That there is another problem. We have closed down sports programs in a lot of schools, music programs in a lot of schools, art programs in a lot of schools because there's no funding for it. Now, if we took all the money that from these private companies that are so busy putting into the police department and put it into these schools, then maybe the kids who were, you know, have the talent to be really good athletes would have something to do.
Or it could be good musicians.
Good musicians, artists, scientists. When I was in school, we had after-school sports, after-school art class, after-school music, after-school science. I mean, it just went on and on. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Now, Mike was said to us once before, didn't you go to art class and everything? Was there after school one too? You're going to have to speak because I'm asking you a question and people can't see you nod on a radio show. I'm done then. The whole point is that you've got to be able to make things available so that the kids aren't on the streets. We've got too many kids out there who are coming home to empty homes because mom and dad have no choice but to work. I'm not putting all this on the parents. Mom and dad have no choice but to work, to make a living, to pay bills. So you've got these kids out here who are roaming the streets, doing whatever the hell they want to. Whereas before, you'd be able to have them in an after-school program. Say school finishes at 2:33. You'd have them in an after-school program till 4:35. If it was a sports thing, you know damn well that after school sports sometimes ended at 7, 8 o'clock. Hell, football season it ends at what, on a Friday at like 10.
And that's if a game
was But all of that is slowly stopped. So when people say defund the police, you gotta listen, they're not saying we don't want a police department, they're saying get some of this private money away from them and put it where it needs to go. Because if we stop kids when they're younger from being assholes, there's less chance they're going to grow up like it.
Mm-hmm. And that's for some people that talk about when they miss it, like you said, when they say they're from the police, like just take the money out of it and
put it somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to put it somewhere, not just do all of whatever.
Right. And the fact of it is, and I've mentioned this before, how many star athletes are out there who never got the chance? How many scientists are out there who have got the brains to cure all the things that are going on right now but couldn't because of the money taken away from schools? The artists and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it to me it's just mind-boggling. And then we have the audacity to complain that these kids are... Oh, they're roaming the streets. They're hanging out with gangs on street corners. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're causing violence and stuff. Well, you know, the other issue is this as well, is that whenever there is a shooting of someone or the police kill someone, regardless of how it's done, the first thing the person says was, well, they were a criminal.
Mm-hmm. And they look up their backgrounds and be like...
They're a criminal. This kid who shot people last night has got $50,000 and more in a GoFundMe account that the family have set up because they're saying that he was viciously attacked by protesters and rioters in Wisconsin. That little fucker shouldn't have been up here to begin with. And as a parent, you need to hold yourself responsible as to why your 17-year-old child left your state with a semi-automatic weapon and went to another state and was in an area where there was a mandated curfew. Where is that accountability? Because I'm telling you now, if my 17-year-old son had done that, you better believe I would have followed his ass up to where he is, grabbed him down in front of everybody, and beat him with that fucking gun. The first thing anybody wants to do is to blame the victim. Where does the accountability to other people come into it? Why, this kid is a good kid because he's white? They're saying, well, the guy who got shot in the stomach was a guy who was a skateboarder. They went, well, he shouldn't have hit him with a skateboard. He was hitting him with a skateboard because he had just shot someone.
Trying to rustle the gun, or at least trying to
get the gun away from him so nobody else got hurt. I mean, I am sad that there are two people dead and one person in hospital right now. But if it wasn't for that guy hitting him with the skateboard, yeah, he lost his life. If it wasn't for the other guy, the guy who got shot in the head, went up to him and said, put the gun down, put the gun down. You can see him lean over and go, put the gun down. And then the kid raised the gun to shoot him, and the guy was trying to go for his gun to shoot back. But if it wasn't for those two people, how many else would have got killed last night? And I'm sorry, I know that you support Tony Evers and everything that he is doing for Wisconsin, but he needs to stand accountable for the fact that he had made the situation a whole lot worse. When these riots started taking place the other evening, he should have done what he said he was going to do, and get the National Guard in to help curb down and form some peace and everything. Because the hatred towards the police department, people don't give a shit about what the police want to try and do or whatnot. Yes, he eventually brought National Guard in last night, but there wasn't enough. There needed to be more. They should have got the Sheriff's Department and police and Highway Patrol stopping cars from getting across the border into Wisconsin. It's easy done. And they're saying there was a curfew. Patrol those streets. Yeah, Wisconsin had a curfew, when we had the last lot of riots. But we had two nights of riots before the National Guard came in and things quieted down. We still have protests.
Right.
But it quieted it down. They saw the show of force and realized our lives are going to be in danger if we balls up. Let's do our protests.
Right, so they know that when they protest, it's going to mean something.
Yeah. People aren't paying attention to the riots right now. I get that people's frustrations and anger is on 100 right now. I get that. But right now, people just look like thugs. They really do. And it's a shame because the message is getting lost.
Right, and it's not just like black people that's out there rioting or anything. There were some white people.
There's a lot of white people, and they were saying that a lot of the people who were instigating the trouble and starting the fires and everything were white people. And I agree with what other people are saying. They're saying to gas stations, do not let people fill up gas cans at your gas station. If you don't pull in with a car and fill up your car, you're not buying gas. Because it's filling up gas cans, building, whoosh.
Right.
And hey, we're going to play a song and then we'll be back with some more.
Let me ring girl. Don't ask me what you know is true. Don't have to tell you I love your precious heart. I was standing, you were there. Two worlds collided and they never tear us apart.
Okay, everyone, we are back. Okay, I just found the statement the Bucks released today, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, statement from the Black Bucks players today. The past 4 months have shed a light on ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American communities. Citizens around the country have used their voices and platforms to speak out against their wrongdoings. Over the past few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Black being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, and the additional shootings of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there's been no action beyond basketball. When we take the court and represent Milwaukee and Wisconsin, we are expected to play at a high level, give maximum effort, and hold each other accountable. We hold ourselves to that standard, and in this moment, we are demanding the same from our lawmakers and law enforcement. We are calling for justice for Jacob Black and demand the officers be held accountable. For this to occur, it's imperative for the Wisconsin state legislature to reconvene after months of inaction and take up meaningful measures to address the issues of police accountability, brutality, and criminal justice reform. We encourage all citizens to educate themselves, take peaceful and responsible action, and remember to vote on November 3rd. I couldn't put it better myself.
But, like, back to, like, what we're saying, like, besides, like, defunding the police, is, like, just like they said, like, lawmakers need to step up and do something about this.
They've got to do something. I mean, we've got a multicultural legislative in Wisconsin. 80-year-old white men. Stop listening to 80-year-old white women. Start going into the communities. Have someone come around here. We got a whole block of the United Nations in this area who will tell you what is wrong. Start listening and start acting. Simple as that.
Exactly. It's not just like our governors or mayors and...
No, it's everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
We got a group of people right now who are walking from here to Washington who every step of the way have faced a shitstorm, basically.
Exactly.
One of the protesters was shot in the face. Thank God he survived. But the cops won't arrest the people doing it because the cops believe the white old man who said they refused to get off my property. We were watching the live video. They weren't on the property. They were walking on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They then get to the hospital and they don't want to rush the guy in. They want him to fill out the forms. He's got blood pouring from his face. The nurse who was on duty then put all over Facebook, guess they won't be coming through this way again. Everybody is now trying to get her fired from her job because she posted up a load of other racist things. Showed the road that they were on and said, it gets real dark along here. Bang, bang, boys. Shit like that. They then were at their hotel the following day and white supremacists showed up and started firing in the air. The cops did nothing. The cops are putting out on the radio, oh, the protesters are staying at this hotel. The walkers are walking along this route. They're staying here, there, and everywhere. You are making them as targets. This is what I want to know. What threat are black men and women to the white government? What are they so scared of?
Right.
Seriously, what are they so scared of? Are they scared we're actually going to get some black men and women who run this country who actually have equal rights, who actually say, do what they say, who are actually more about helping the community instead of lining their pockets and big business?
And
is that what the problem is?
They probably will do it better.
Seriously, what is white America so scared of? We should put that question up on WFSL Radio Network and see if we get any people answer. Because...
do that right now.
What is white America scared of? What are white officials scared of? Are they scared that they're going to get treated how they've treated black America?
It's possible they could be scared of black America or Asian America or
now,
Latin America.
Well, we already know that white America, well, white people were scared of Native Americans because look what they did to them.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're doing that, I'm going to pass you the phone for the last 15 minutes of the show to... Because I know you had a few things you wanted to talk about sports-wise, so over to you.
Okay, like back to what she was talking about. Like everything got to start. If we want to change, it got to start with the president. He got to at least like make some rules change, some laws or whatever. It's just right now he's not doing anything. And that's probably why some people that support him don't get, like, he's more of a businessman than a leader in the president, because
you never see a businessman ever running for office. Why? Because he's not a politician. He is a businessman.
And,
and
like,
it was proven, wasn't it, when Linda ran for
office? Right. That, because wasn't she in Trump's cabinet or something like that?
For, like, economic restart or something.
Right.
They tried getting her, and maybe I have a look at that. Hold on. See, this is what, I'll say this, this is where she was good at working. The Administrator for Small Business Administration. That I get. Let me have a look where it says. Political career. She was on the Board of Education in the state that they were in.
Good morning.
Keep talking, Joe.
Oh, like I can't pull a poll up on there because you only can do that on groups and stuff like that. But I am going to ask the question. As we're live right now.
Lisa McMahon is the chairwoman of the America First Action, which is a pro-Trump.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. But, let's see, as we're live right now, and all the hosts wants to hear, from you guys. What is, no, not what is, but what are,
what is white America?
Yeah, what is, yeah. White America. Scared of.
Okay, you've got to keep talking about other things. Wait.
I'm trying. But, and that's the point. It's just like, what are white America is scared of and, like, doesn't, like, we kind of see their points when it came to, Obama on there because all half of the people do was, like, nitpicking this, nitpicking that, and doing this and that, besides letting him do his job.
Let's be honest, Obama was pretty much the only president who didn't have any kind of scandal during his sit in office.
Right.
But people have a problem with it.
Right, and I'm thinking part of the problem was probably because like he was half black. Because that's what it seems like with some of these other people. And it's just like sad and like, and all these, some of these black petitions that all they're agreeing with, like,
pro-Trump and all this other crap, I'm sorry to say this, but they some coons. Because they look at the past of what the Republicans did in the past, and they're not looking at the present.
Right, but then they tell everybody else to stop living in the past.
They living in the past. Because all they bring up is like, Democrats were the one that run slavery and this and that. Which, if you research your history, that may be true. But conservatives were Democrats at the time. Then conservatives had switched and liberal became like Democrats or whatever. And also, what? It was something else I was gonna say. I can't even remember it at the moment. But anyways, y'all look at on white supremacy right now, like who do they support? Simple answer. I don't even gotta say his name. It's been mentioned already, so I don't have to say his name. But if you want to, what the president should have done is, you know, separate himself from that and actually, you know, take action against, you know, against white supremacy and KKK and all this stuff. And I know some people are there talking now, I'm just saying, like, why the other presidents didn't do it? You're right. Why the other presidents didn't do it? Right.
When every other president was off, did you hear about this thing in riots going on? Did you hear about this thing in cops killing people? No.
No, because Trump made it okay to be racist. I mean, and let's be honest, we've got to give him credit where credit's due. At least we know now out of our circle of people you deal with who the racist people are.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So credit where credit's due. Thank you, Trump. We appreciate you for that. But the rest of it?
You mean one damn thing that you've done that ain't benefited himself before anybody else, and I'll shut my mouth over it.
It was absolutely nothing.
If it ain't benefited him, you can care less. He's in the office. Constant coming after him. He's got secret service things in regard to that, so he doesn't have to worry about getting shot by a cop. He's up in office doing, put a thumb up his ass, protected, while people are out here trying to get their rights heard, and they're getting shot for it. Yet, what has he done? For the past 4 years in the office, he has done nothing but involve himself in scandal and done stuff to benefit himself to make him look like a good guy. He's done nothing for this country unless it benefited him.
Okay? But the only thing. Like, some of his supporters over there just pointing out, like, yeah, he elected women in, like, offices and stuff like that. That's not the point. The point is all the stuff that's going in America, not what's going in the office or going in, like, governments. And
he's appointing like-minded people to government roles.
Right. And it's just sad. Have a leader that don't even know how to lead.
You know,
he's not. Even when he had his business going, he wasn't running those businesses. People thought he used to say he had boys running his business.
And my thing is this. When I was with Robert Stack, I never worried about whether Robert Stack was going to come home.
Right.
The minute you two set foot outside this front door, I'm worried that you won't come home because of what's going on out there.
No, I understand that. And there's just such.
Yes, I worried when Obama was in office. Not nearly as much as I do now. You know what I mean?
Right. Because, like, the situation, like, with these cops killing these unarmed people was around the time that he was in office, but it didn't get this bad.
It was handled right away, that's what.
Right, and then just now, have we seen all these...
Anybody in my family get hurt? No? Oh, well, let it go.
No.
Let somebody shoot one of these family members.
No, Trump is sitting there going, did any good old white boys and their family representing the KKK get hurt? No. Carry on. Because he invited the two people who were outside their home sweating in peaceful protesters with guns to his rally.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to be doing now? He's going to give that kid a pardon for shooting protesters?
You know what? It wouldn't be surprised if he would, and that would, like, prove everybody's theory on if he's racist or not.
People already know he's racist, but the people that voted for him and are all for him are probably just as racist as he is.
This is what he put out. He says, I ask that you do not have your officers tell us to go home under threat of arrest, as you have done in the past. It is evident no matter how many officers, deputies, or other law enforcement that are there, you'll still be outnumbered. Until people actively come out and start condemning the violence from Black Lives Matter rioters, then I recommend that everybody in the area be armed and ready because they're coming for you. I don't want to see anybody hurt, suffering, or killed. I did not see an outside law enforcement. Every law enforcement agency I came across was thankful, giving intel, letting us know where the crowds would be. And then this is the, if I can, I'm trying my hardest to read it, but my eyesight's like really bad. It says, this is from the Kenosha Guard. As you know, I'm the commander of the Kenosha Guard, a local militia, and have about 3,000 RSVPs. We have volunteers that will be in uptown, downtown, and the entrances of other neighborhoods. Our effort has made national media. I ask that you do not have your officers tell us to go home under threat of arrest as you have done in the past. We are willing to walk with KPD in an open discussion. It's evident that no matter how many officers, deputies, and other enforcement that are there, you will still be outnumbered.
Wow. And I bet you probably got a lot of people like posting on that too.
Yeah, got a lot of people in there.
Brian saying something positive or something negative.
I'm not even gonna read it. It's pissing me off way too much.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we will be back later in the week. AJ's got a couple of shows, I'm sure. Sadly, I'm gonna be in the Kenosha area on the week. But I will be gone before anything breaks down, hopefully.
I don't know. Nothing's going on the weekend, but probably doing a YouTube video about WWE Payback this coming weekend. So probably do a video about, like, if it, you know, the matches, predictions, and things like that.
Okay, so on that note, you will definitely catch me again on Wednesday for Hazel Runs Her Mouth. Until then, catch you all on the flip side. Have a good night, everyone.